Got it right there. Isaiah 52 and 53. I want to talk to you. If y'all want to move down, that's up to you. I want to talk to you on the exchange at the cross. The exchange at the cross. It's not a dead deal. Something transpired when you went to the cross. You carried your nothing, and you walked away with His everything. You carried your shame, and you walked away with His power. I'm not going to be lengthy, I don't think. Thank you, Sister Jessie. Thank you. My focus is going to be on the power of God to heal physical bodies. More and more, that is becoming a lost doctrine in our churches. He did not say, I am the Lord God that healeth thee until 1910. He didn't put a period after that, a segment of church era. He just identified Himself as the Lord our God that healeth thee. Churches that preach on healing have been ostracized, ridiculed, shunned, classified as out of touch. But it doesn't change the doctrine one bit. He's a healing Savior. And when you think about the value, we emphasize the value of our soul. How that our soul is precious in the sight of the Lord. And that's right. But this Bible also emphasizes the value of your body. It says you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so that's what we want to go. Would you turn with me to Isaiah 52, verse number 13, 14, and 15, and then we go into chapter 53. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Now we get a picture in this next verse of the crucifixion, of the brutality. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. I want you now to look in chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He being the Lord Jesus. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. He didn't say he was despised. Don't lose sight of that. He is still despised. He's the roadblock that stands in the pathway of a people that want to live without him. He's the conscience. He's the conscience that either approves or disapproves, either accuses or approves. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse number 10. Let me go ahead with verse number 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded And I want you to pick up on the hours, the repetition. He didn't do it for namesake, for reputation. He was wounded for our transgression. Somebody say ours. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Look at verse number 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. In other words, he didn't die in vain. He's a plant that's planted in the ground and brings a harvest. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Can the church say amen? Father, I just can't express how I feel right now, Lord. We're among a people that are needy. We have people in this audience this morning who are going through severe physical problems. We can pat them on the back and say, we'll pray for you. And that sounds so feeble. It sounds so insignificant, yet we know it's not. But Lord, somewhere in the economy of your time, there's got to be that moment when we step out of the ranks of the natural and get into the ranks of the supernatural. And instead of patting them on the shoulder and say, we'll pray for you, we lay hands upon them and command the affliction to be gone and the disease to be withered and healed. And we speak, thus saith God, and that is wrong becomes right, that is bad becomes good, and that which is hopeless becomes hopeful. Move us into that realm. We're not asking for reputation. We're not asking for recognition. We're not asking for popularity. But we're asking for help for people that are struggling. We're asking for deliverance for people that are bound. We're asking healing for those who are sick and diseased. We're asking that your name be glorified, not the name of the Alligood Church or some pastor or some evangelist or some layperson, but we're praying that you would be glorified. We're praying that you would rise up above the squander of the world with healing in your wings. We're praying that the report could go forth, not what this one did or that one did, but what you did. It's all for your glory that we pray this. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The scripture that I read to you could well be one of the most, if not the most important passage in the Old Testament. Now, I need to fully know the message, need to understand and appropriate it. The Gospels give us a vivid picture of this servant that Isaiah spoke about. It gives us a picture of the heart of God. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants to save you and redeem you. He died to redeem your soul. But there's not a period there either, because your body is valuable. He went about doing good, healing how many? All that were oppressed of the devil. When the evening was come and the sun was set, they brought unto him all that had evil spirits and that were sick and the afflicted, and he healed them all. You can search the New Testament over and you will not find one single solitary case listed where he refused to heal somebody. He that cometh him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a compassionate God. He was moved with compassion. He wept. He stood at Lazarus' grave, and he wasn't weeping because he was unable to do something. He was weeping because they didn't know that he was going to do something. How can he walk away from Lazarus? How can he walk away from the 12-year-old boy being carried to a funeral? How can he walk away from the woman that's bent over with disease? How can he walk away from somebody in this auditorium this morning whose pain in their body is unbearable, whose cancer report is bleakened? How can he walk away? Hear me, I know this doesn't ride the horse real good, but I'm speaking out of the overflow of my heart. How can he turn away somebody that says, Master, hear my cry. How can he do it? We dismiss him. We push him in the shadows so that we can have our agenda, that we can get the reputation for ourselves. I could care less about all that stuff. I want the Jesus that's listed in that Bible to get up and walk off the pages of that Bible and walk in this auditorium this morning and say, I am the Lord God Almighty. Is there anything too hard for me? My God, we need to brag on him. We need to exalt him. We need to boast about him. We need to tell what he's done. He said to the demonic, go back home and tell what great things God has done for you. We need to worry about theology. Perpetuation of just tell them I was crazy and God set me free. I was blind, but God made me whole. Can somebody praise him? I've come to the end of my journey. I've come to the end of my being, and I'm so tired and I'm so fatigued of just repetition. Just saying that God can do it, be blessed and be healed and be. I want my God to. He does not operate selectively. He has no partiality. He's not leapfrogging over 25 of you to get to the 26th one. As many as come to him, he healed them. Do you believe what I'm preaching to you? Do you believe that God is able? Sarah laughed in her tent. And the angel of the Lord said, what are you laughing about? Is there anything too hard for God? The only restriction that really matters is not heaven's restriction, it's our restriction. We box him in, put him in a straitjacket, and say, this is the God. We carry him around and set him up in our temples. And we say, this is the God that used to be. That's so wrong. I'm not a big lover of Chinese food. If you see me in there, most time it's for somebody else. But I go in that one by a food line, and old Buddha sits there, and he hadn't changed his smile in all the years since he'd been sitting there. He looks just as dumb today as he did the day they placed him there. And if he ever moves, it's going to be because somebody picks him up. I don't want a God you got to pick up. I don't want a God that you got to transport. I don't want a God that you got to brag on. I don't have to prop God up. I've got to agree with God. If any two agree is touching on any one thing, it shall be done. My God, I've been in the throes this week of this. My soul has been gripped in the grip of God. Hallelujah. Son of a, can somebody say amen? He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm not an interpreter of Greek and Hebrew, but I know what that means. It means you were going this way, but when he come in, you started going that way. You were down, but he got you up. You were bound, but he set you free. He come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Tonight I'm going to be pushing further on this. It's got to be preached. It's got to be preached. I read the scripture. The psalmist said, and my heart leaps in faith. The psalmist said, I shall not die. But live. and declare the glories of God. I read in Ezekiel 16 in verse number 6. I walked by you and I saw you in a bloody mess. You wasn't profitable. You wasn't worth anything. But I stopped. I didn't converse with you. I just said one word, live. And that was in a bloody mess got up and began to live. He walked by you one day, if you're a child of God. And he saw you in the shackles of sin. He saw you helpless and hopeless. All you did was dug a hole deeper. And he said to you, come forth. He walks by Lazarus' tomb. He loves Lazarus. He loves Mary and Martha. He's not just biased to them. They're disturbed and they're wrought up and they're just full of consternation. Master, if you would have been here, that's what some people we say after our church, if God would have been there. Let me tell you something right now. If God ever shows up, you're going to know it. Hello? Nobody's going to have to tell you God was in the house. Excitement shows up. Enthusiasm shows up, and we attribute that to God. Oh, God, help me. But if God shows up, we won't be jitterbugging. We'll be on our face. We won't even be on our back. We'll be on our face before Him. We'll be crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God omnipotent. Hallelujah. My God, there'd be no better day for Him to show up than right here, right now. I'm not, if He showed up in His majestic glory, I'm not going to try to control things. I'm not going to say, well, we got a program we got to operate by. I'm going to say, let it go. Are y'all with me? The devil, it is the minister of misery. He's the minister of misery. He inflicts everything he gives you is a lie. He has nothing to give you but pain and perplexity. The thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But, he came to do this, but I come to do that. I come that you might have life. Am I talking to you? If Jesus is the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God in the Old Testament, the Lamb had to be placed fully on the altar. Can't have part of it hanging off, a leg laying over here. That full unit in the Old Testament offering has got to be laid on the altar, bound on the altar. Bind the sacrifice with cords is what the psalmist said. When you come to Jesus Christ, the only acceptable offering He'll have from you is the full package. Am I talking to you? Don't you lay a piece of you, well, I'll give you my social life. I'll give you my finance. No. You get on that altar. If you've never got on that altar, you don't belong to Him. Don't call Him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. The requirement was get on the altar, bind that sacrifice. Am I talking to you? Somebody raise your hand. That sacrifice went through suffering. Amen? Went through heartache. Went through trouble, but an exchange was made. When that animal was burned, was cooked, was whatever offered, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, holy and acceptable unto God. Well, Jesus Christ is God's Lamb. John the Baptist identified him. He didn't say, here comes Emmanuel. He didn't even say, here comes Jesus. John was baptizing in Jordan. He looks up and he sees a figure coming, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Well, if he's the Lamb of God, he's got to be offered. Am I talking to you? If he's the Lamb of God, he can't just go about having his vacation and just wheeling and dealing. The Lamb has got to be offered. 3.5 years later, see, the Lamb in the Old Testament had a 4-day trial. On the 10th of the month, he was selected and observed until the 14th day of the month. And then he was killed on the 14th day of the month. 4 days, 3.5 years of ministry. And the verdict was, by unanimous, I find no fault in him. Am I talking to you? He met the approval. He met the criteria. He met the requirements. They tried to find fault with him. They lied about him. They did everything they possibly could to minimize him. But the verdict still come back, I find no fault in him. So the suffering began. The suffering of the Lamb of God began. I'm going somewhere. I know it's... It began on Thursday. Thursday evening. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying, sweating like blood drops. His hour has come. He's the Lamb of God. He's going to suffer. And he knows he's going to suffer because he cries out, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He drank it. I trod the wine press alone, is what he said. They come in with Judas, and they got with their torches, and they carried him away. They tried him, and they put in his body. Are y'all with me? His body now is what's going on. He's already endured the interspiritual part. Now he's going to endure the pain. He endured pain in his body that I could be delivered from pain in my body. Do you hear that? Let's not water it down. Let's face the guilt. Let's face the challenge. We don't gain anything by playing it, misinterpreting or getting somebody's version, somebody's style. Let's look at it. Children, do you have any meat? Jesus said. And they could have said, well, the tide is wrong. The wind is blowing. The nets are broken. They just cried out, no. He said, well, if you're honest with me, I'll be honest with you. Put your net on the other side, and you're going to get some fish. I think the question is coming to the church this morning. Church, do you have any meat? And we can say, well, socials, it is so hard now. Society, they've got these things. No, quit lying. Just say, no, we have no meat. We're empty-handed. We're barren. We don't have anything to show for the labor. I hear him say, well, cast your net on the other side. Give us the interpretation, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just give honor to the Holy Ghost? Listen to me now. I'm going to finish what I started. I'm not doing it out of spite. I'm not doing it out of retaliation. None of that good stuff. It's just I'm burning. I'm burning inside. It started on Thursday evening, and it started with his head. They put a crown of thorns on his head. You remember that? Blood flowed from his head. Now, what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say he suffered, his first wounds were wounds on his head. He's saying to you, whatever head problem you have, he's already dealt with it. Do you have sinus? Do you have brain tumor? Do you have whatever? I know I'm losing some of you now. But he dealt with the head situation. It's bad to go through life with health. Maybe you're emotionally upset. Maybe you get emotionally confused. If it's in your brain, they put thorns on his head and crown him so that you could be crowned with joy. Blood run. Why are they doing it to his head? Because he knows that there's going to be a multiplicity of people who have head problems. And God wants you to know that no matter where your problem is in your body, physical problem, that there's a solution for it, and it's come from the cross of Jesus Christ. So if you got mental problems, I'm not minimizing. If you got emotional problems, if you got problems that stem from the off balance of something, you need to understand that there is a solution, there's a cure, and it's found in Jesus Christ, and it's found in the prayers of the church, and somewhere or other you need hands laid upon you by the principles of the Bible so that you can be freed and delivered. How many here today can say boldly and resoundingly, in the past, whenever I know I've been delivered by God for some situation? I can hear him in his mind. Go ahead and maltreat me, soldiers. Go ahead and bruise my head. Blood's flowing. I can feel it. I can sense it. I can smell it. Go ahead and do what you got to do. But you don't know that you're setting a trap, because what you're doing is causing multiplied millions to be healed by these stripes, by these wounds. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17 said, when the evening was come, they brought him before him unto him all that were sick, bound with evil spirits, and he healed them, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, himself bore our sorrows and carried our sickness. He's the fulfillment of prophecy. Amen. Then you say, well, that's good. That all stopped. Don't be so ignorant as to say that mess. Because he turned around himself and said, after he resurrected from the grave, he looked at some disciples and said, now here's what your agenda is. I've already showed you mine. I've demonstrated mine for 3.5 years. Now I'm going to show you what your agenda is. In my name you shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall cast out devils. And he gives us an agenda. And that agenda has never, that is an ongoing agenda. There's no period there. There's no stopping point there. And the Bible said they went out and laid hands upon the sick and they were recovered. And there was great joy. Samaria, mixed up town, half-breeds and whatever, all kind of political mess. But when Jesus took a tour through Samaria, a woman with 5 husbands and living in a shacking up position, and Jesus said, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. He's not trying to condemn her. He's trying to expose her to herself. Am I talking to you? Next, they bent Jesus over and stretched his body back skin tight, drew it tight. Purpose. When they scourged somebody, they carried them forward so that the backside. And they put 39 lashes on him. The law would allow 40, but they always did 39 because they didn't want to be guilty of killing him out of maliciousness. They beat him. They scarred him. They hit him. They did everything they could. But today, I stand in this pulpit to say to you, if you got a problem with your back, he took the pain for it. He took the perplexity for it. He took the problem for it. He suffered in his back so that your back can be made whole. Do you have spine problems? Do you have curvature of the back? I'm not talking about some mystical stuff. If you got a back problem, there's a God that sits high and looks low, and he's able to turn your back around. He's able to raise your back up in the position. He's able to heal your disease, who healeth all. He made your body. He knows where the neck bone and the hip bone and the jaw bone and all the bones are cut. He knows all that stuff. He knows what's wrong and what's right. He knows what's good. I got a brother laying in Pitt County Hospital this morning in bad shape. But oh, dear God, he's got faith for his soul. But he's being abused. He's being lashed out again with his health. I want him to hear that. And he knows that he's a child of God. He's dedicated. He's anointed. But listen, he's going through physical problems. You say, well, some of us are going to suffer. Well, we may suffer, but let's not throw in the towel. People get scared. They get afraid. They're scared we're going overboard. They're scared we're going beyond the point of no return. Well, you're so bold and you're so courageous now. What are you going to do if it don't work? I'm going to come back next Sunday and do it again. Hello? How many times have you got to do it? I don't know. Elijah prayed 7 times before rain come. Naaman dipped 7 times before he got skin that was clear. We might have to go 7 weekends, 70 weekends. We might have to go perpetually. But we got to bring this attention to the community that our God is alive. Amen. You got back problems? Anybody here got back problems? Yeah. All over. He cussed some Mohoshataya. I speak the name of Jesus. Somebody help me out right now. Just, I speak the name of Jesus over back problems right now through the power of the Spirit of God. I speak the name of Jesus, the healer, the deliverer, the liberator. I speak the name of Jesus over back problems, minor or major. I command pain to be gone through the power of the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Next, they scourged him and then they prepared him for the cross. They put spikes in his hands. Hand problems is a big deal. People with arthritis cannot function with the dexterity that they need. Hand problems, arthritis, rheumatism. But they put nails in his hand. Am I making sense to you? Do you think I'm crazy? I saw this. I saw him on the cross. In my mind now, I saw him on the cross. And I heard in my spirit as I'm praying and laying before God, I heard in my spirit said, that sacrifice took everything so that every area of his body that was afflicted by the wounds can be delivered by the bodies of my people. People with hand problems or handicap. It's a frustrating thing. But let me tell you something right now. Jesus did something to help hand problems out. He took my place on, and then feet problems. There's believers spiritually. There's believers that cannot walk straight. The church props them up. The church loves them. The church does everything it can to encourage them. but they just don't have the will. They don't have the gumption. They don't have the capability. They stumble and they stagger. They're in one week and out the next week. They're up one week and down the next week. But Jesus come and took pain in his feet so that you can learn how to walk. Hello? That's all some people need to do. They need to learn how to walk. Walk unassisted. Nobody. It's a glorious moment in somebody's life when they realize they don't have to have brother so-and-so propping them up or sister so-and-so propping them. They can make it by from Sunday to Sunday. They can make it on their own faith. Jesus took spikes in his feet so that you can walk upright. And I will tell you, you know, amen? Oh, glory to God. I got to hurry. People fall, they stumble, and they blunder. He suffered in his feet so that you could walk properly. We got a wonderful God, and Brother Ken and this, all the choir, they've done a great job on that. Our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. Somebody say it with, our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. What a mighty God we serve. He's bigger than all our problems. He's bigger than all our mess. He's bigger than all our blunders. He's able to pick you up. You say, I've fallen 70 times. He's got the 71st time reaching for you. You say, I've messed him up. I've messed up 79. He's got the 80th time for you. How many times will he pick you up? Ever how many times you fall? There's not a person in this building this morning. I don't care how righteous you are. I don't care how sanctified you are. There's not a person in this building this morning that hadn't fallen at some time. Some fall deeper than others. Some fall more in more bondage. But we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God is not standing at the back door of our life with a foot in our rear end saying, I'm going to push you overboard. God's got a nail-scarred hand reaching down to us and saying, if you'll just take a hold of my hand, you won't be falling like you've been falling. And I say, thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm glad that we serve a God that's compassionate. I'm glad that we serve a God that's willing. That the prodigal in Luke 15 woke up one day and said, I got to go back home. Look at me. I'm in a mess. Look at me. Look, I stink. I don't even resemble the boy that left home. I'm unkempt. I'm uncared for. But here's the prodigal. Here's the prodigal. I know what my daddy's going to do. My daddy loves me. But I also know what my ugly, ill-tempered brother's going to do. It's a shame when God will welcome you and your brothers and sisters won't welcome you. Am I right? Oh, the elder brother. I preach about the elder brother someday. You ain't never fixed a calf for me. Why don't you? Oh. Son, all that you see is yours. That's what the father said to the elder brother. It's all yours. And you're grumbling about your brother? He wasted his life. Yeah, he did. Somebody worship him. Now I'm bringing it to the last. His hands, his feet, his head. But the last thing they did was took a spear and rammed it in his side. Don't picture in your mind that he just gently said, now, it's going to hurt, you know, how you go to the doctor and they're going to give you a 14-inch hypodermic. Rammed it. No compassion. But I saw something when I was just praying. Because inside that side, that's the doorway to get in. But I got a liver. I got lungs. I got a spleen. I got kidneys. I got a gallbladder. I got all those vital organs. And to get there, you got to go through my side. But I can see that spear right now. And I can see him holding on to it. I'm gouging the liver. I'm gouging the lung. I'm gouging the kidney. I'm not going to leave one vital organ. I'm going to kill this man. Pow! this morning, we can deal with the broken fingers. We can deal with the stumbling walk. But we got to have kidneys to live. We got to have lungs to function. We got to have a heart. He took all that so that you could be free. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. We're going to ask the musicians to come. I know what time it is. But I don't want to apologize, because God in heaven knows if I've ever felt the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, here's where the rub comes. If you were the only person on the face of this earth, he would have done it for you. He would have gladly. They're going to sing a song of their choice. And here's what I feel like I'd like to do. One of the great things that hinder deliverance is the ego of people that are praying for others. They would like to be associated with, will John Doe pray for Bill? You know. Can I tell you, God will not, and I mean will not, share his glory. Will not. And I would like for you that have got identified problems, head problems, all kinds of arm, walking problems, hand problems. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? From your head to your feet, problems, whatever. I would like for you to, in that, with real needs, to come and stand in front of this podium. And then we're going to have believers to come by. And they're going to start praying. We're going to build a wall around you. And we're going to proclaim deliverance for the Allegood Church of God congregation or anybody that's associated with us in any way. Can I get you that have got physical problems,